from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Yankees baseball is on. WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, Boomer Geo coming to you live from the Little Four Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Summer Friday.
Were you here the day after the All-Star game?
I was. I wasn't here the day after we found out that Ingrid.
Antlus or something.
Ingrid Andress had checked into rehab and posted that she was going to get some help, and she was drunk during the national anthem. But yes, I was there the morning after.
The only reason I'm asking you this is because we just had some guests come into the studio, and one of the guys that came in was actually on the field for the All-Star game during this fiasco. Yeah. And I asked him, I said, did it sound as bad in person as it did on TV? And he said he took his phone out immediately and said, it was remarkable how many people were just absolutely torching her.
Well, yeah. I mean,
but, you know, it's one thing. I thought she was much younger. She looks a lot younger than she is. She's 32 years old.
Yeah, she looked like she was 17.
Now she's in rehab for supposedly for, you know, alcohol, and who knows? There could have been something else involved. I thought there was something wrong with her or wrong with the system.
Yeah, and I did ask you, so we didn't end up talking about it the next day because I wasn't here on Wednesday, but, you know, I asked you, if you were a part of her crisis management team, what would you do? And you said, well, I'd put out a new song right away and capitalize. And by the way, her streaming numbers have gone up big time ever since this happened because people are like, I wonder what she actually sounds like when she's not drunk and terrible. So let me listen to one of her songs. So the streaming numbers went up, but they decided, or she decided, that, you know, we're going to go to rehab, we're going to make it public. Now, I hate to be cynical, and she may have a problem. I don't know, but you see a lot of this stuff. Like, for example, remember when Steve Phillips got caught with the ESPN employee, and all of a sudden he had to go into rehab for sex addiction? You know, it's stuff like that where you're like, you're going with the sympathy play sometimes.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if you really, really needed help, maybe you do it quietly and privately and don't put it out there.
Look, she apologized to Major League Baseball. She apologized essentially to the country she loves.
Yeah.
And then she checked herself into rehab. I mean, I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. I just, you know, it was horrendous. I felt bad for her. I felt bad for us for watching that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it doesn't change my life one way or the other, but hopefully she can get her life straightened out.
Yeah, what do Joe Guerrera and Shane Lowry have in common? Do you know?
They take forever.
Yeah, they just took, Shane Lowry just took 20 minutes in between shots.
Oh, okay.
Love you, Joe.
Love you, Joe.
Cinderella. Get yourself a Cinderella burger.
Yeah, we love you.
Oh, man. I need to get some Cinderella meats. Double bogey
there
for Larry.
Good weekend for some meat.
Grilled some meats. Yeah, you know, Gina's into grilling now. She's taking that away from me. I don't know why. I usually do a great job, but she's like, you know what? I want to grill some meats.
You know
I was
what?
Like, okay, grill some meats.
Right?
Good. Take that off my plate.
Take it off your plate. Let you go back in and watch the golf.
Yeah, exactly.
So, by the way, did you go back home yesterday and watch, or did you go out and did you, what'd you do?
No. I went back home and watched and
you did, okay.
Passed out for an hour. And yeah, I did not. I wanted to watch. That's what I wanted to do. And by the way, today I'm going to go up and see our buddy Jordan Davis. He's up in Bridgeport.
Nice.
So I'm going to take the ferry out of Port Jeff and go up there and hang with him a little bit before his show. Speaking of country music stars, and he told me he never wanted to do the national anthem because he said it's really only terrible things can come out of it. He's like, man, he's like, I'm not Whitney Houston. You know, I'm not going to go out there and belt it out. I mean, it's something terrible can happen when you do a national anthem.
Well, I mean, the opposite could happen too. I mean, you could kill it and
name me one person you never heard of that sang the national anthem.
I can't. You know why? Because I've come to, I think, expect greatness from everybody who does sing it because I do believe. Because of what you just said about Jordan Davis saying, you know, you can only lose when you sing the song, that most people don't show up ossified when they're trying to sing it.
Okay, but here's the thing. There's I can't think of one, you can't think of one, someone we didn't hear, never heard of sing a national anthem, and then all of a sudden we're like, oh, wow, that's great. Where I could tell you Carl Lewis, Roseanne Barr, Fergie, Ingrid Andres, like all of those people. Miserable national anthems that we remember, whereas the great ones you don't necessarily remember. You weren't listening because you were talking to Eddie. So you're struggling for a retort.
I was listening.
Yeah.
No, it's all. Okay. I was thinking about Chris Stapleton.
Oh, yeah. Well, people knew who he was.
Yeah, like, but what I'm saying is, like, you remember that. That's the point. Like you remember Whitney Houston, you remember
too.
Chris Stapleton, and there are others that you will remember. But I mean, I'll also remember this Ingrid. What's her last name?
Andres.
Whatever.
Ingrid
yes.
Andres. Yeah, I know. I think, but the bad ones, like immediately when Ingrid Andres did hers, it was like, oh, this is worse than Fergie. And then you think about old Roseanne Barr and Carl Lewis and some of the other ones. Like, there's a just like bad first pitches.
Yeah, but I don't know why Carl Lewis and Roseanne Barr would even think about doing it.
Well, they did. And it was really, really bad and goes down in history. That's for sure. Let's go to Finn in West Islip. What's going on, Finn?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, Finn. What's up, man?
Nothing, Gio. Just want to let you know. Last night I played with one of your. Two of your future golfing partners, actually, down at Heartland in Deer Park.
Oh, two of my future golfing partners at Heartland and Deer Park. Who could this be? I am at a loss here. I have been at Heartland. I haven't played that par 3 course, but I have gone to their driving range, which is great. You get like 10,000 balls for like 10 cents. It's the greatest thing in the world. You bring your card back and it keeps pumping out balls for you. All right, so who'd you play with?
Peter Schwartz's kids.
Schwartz's kids, Bradley and Jared.
Yep. Just happened to walk onto him with another buddy. We just walked up. We ended up playing with them. They're good kids.
They are great kids. They really are.
Yeah, they're awesome, and their parents raised them right. And we loved when they came into the studio. So they're brand new to the game, I think, though, right?
Yeah, I could tell. I'm not really a very good golfer at all. I can't even break 100. I looked like Jack Nicklaus compared to them. So,
well, you know what? I'm sure you were very kind.
They were good.
As most
how,
people.
How long was the round of golf?
They could work on their pace of play a little bit.
Yeah.
A lot of breakfast balls. A lot.
Yeah. Oh, that would piss me off.
So.
Yeah. But.
What are you going to do? Did you talk a lot about Peter? Did they give you any dirt on their dad?
Well, hold on. Wait a minute. How did you know that they were his sons? Did they tell you that they were Peter Schwartz's sons?
No, we played the whole round until the ninth hole. They mentioned something about their dad broadcasting golf. And I said, your dad broadcaster? He said, yeah, he works for the fan, too. He said, who's your dad? He said, Peter Schwartz. I said, yeah, I know exactly who that is. And then we started, you know, talking about it.
That is awesome.
Hey, they love their dad. They're proud of their dad, and that's what they should
be.
I love that, Finn. Yes. That's awesome. He goes, I look like Jack Nicklaus. I can't even break on. So, Peter, he texted me the other day. He goes, I have a situation going on here. My kids went to play. This was back in late June. My kids went to play pitch and putt at Heartland at Deer Park, and now they are hooked. They want to play golf. And he sent me a picture of the two of them at Heartland. So they're in now. There you go. You thought you got a break with Bradley's long snapping scholarship, but now you got to shell out the bucks for the golf now.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. The reason that they're into it, I'm guaranteeing it, is because of you.
No, that's not.
You've been talking about it for so much now, for 2 years.
No, it's a bunch of young people are into it now. You sent me an article yesterday about YouTube golf inspiring all the young players.
It's amazing.
It's in the New York Times.
Yeah, it's amazing what YouTube golf has done.
Yeah.
It really has. And people want to see and get tips. And now all of a sudden, I think now more than ever before, more people, girls, kids like this, are going to play golf because it's become so much more mainstream and so much more available.
Right, absolutely. Let's go to Roger in Binghamton. What's up, Rog?
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Friday.
Yeah, you too. What's happening, Roger?
Just calling about, you guys were talking about the national anthem and the good and bad ones.
Yeah.
I believe one of the best ones we ever saw was Meatloaf. Did a great rendition of the national anthem back in the day. Don't remember exact year, but it's really great.
You know what? That's a good memory there, Roger. I don't remember a great Meatloaf national anthem. Do you?
I don't.
All right, so Fleegs is telling me he looked it up. Thanks, Roger. 1994 All-Star Game, which was probably the reason why we forgot about that, is they had the strike right after that, didn't they?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. Do you have a little bit of that there, Fleegs, on YouTube? All right, so they're going to grab that so we can listen to it. It was at Three Rivers Stadium in Pittsburgh, the 1994 national anthem, Meatloaf. Were you there to see it? Oh, my God. You know what? After this plays, I got to tell you, unless they need another second, I got to tell you a story.
Oh, say, can you see?
It's good.
It's Meatloaf. I mean, you can tell. Yeah. But he did it right. He did it at the right pace and everything else.
Yeah. But is this like a memorable one? I mean, this just seems forgettable to me. Like, at about 3 o'clock this afternoon, I'll forget we did all of this.
Oh, right.
You know, this is not even...
I hear
this guy remembered this from 1994. Here we go. Let's see what he does here. These guys.
So what I love is that they
look at Lenny Dykstra.
They used to wear their uniforms.
Yeah, I know. Which they need to. There's David Justice,
yes.
Matt Williams.
This is good. Yes,
it's good. Yeah, really good.
It's actually when most of America still liked America.
That's good. And he had a very Meatloaf, with Barry Bonds, Meatloaf-esque outfit on with a vest, very colorful vest. I mean, it's a good one.
Yeah, I thought it was a very good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Griffey Jr., look at this.
Frank Thomas before the Nugenics.
That's some lineup, man.
I know. And it was just a few years after that. It was the All-Star Game 1998 where I went to the Home Run Derby, then stopped at Roy Rogers, got food poisoning on the side of the highway. Had to puke. Yeah, just a couple years after.
You remember that more than you do the national anthem.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you sang the national anthem for that All-Star game. Couldn't even tell you who sang the national anthem for this All-Star game. I don't remember any of it. Let's go to George, who's in Stamford. What's going on, George?
Hello!
What's happening, George?
Hey, Gio, if you're going to Bridgeport tonight, 2 blocks from the arena, is a place called Ralph and Richie's, a fantastic Italian restaurant in Bridgeport.
Oh, Ralph and Richie's. All right.
If it's not too crazy, you know, just pop in, grab a drink, maybe get an appetizer or something. You'll love it.
All
right,
Ralph
2 blocks away. You can't miss it. Yeah.
Perfect. How far is the arena from the ferry terminal? You know that?
Ferry to the arena is like same thing, 2 blocks. You just got to come out of the driveway. and take a right under the track, then you're right there.
All right, perfect, man. Look at this.
That doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, I mean, this is all. I will go. This is what I was trying to explain to Gene about the whole MetLife Stadium thing. Like, I will get on that ferry and go to Connecticut and have, like, the easiest night ever to go see a concert.
The ferry is a great ride.
It's just perfect. You're sitting there banging and boom. But
I used to take that when I used to go up to visit the kids at Boston College.
Yeah.
Just sit there, nice. On a nice day,
you'd
have a beautiful night on the ferry tonight. You know you're a seaman.
I am a seaman.
You love being out on the sea.
And it's going to be beautiful conditions today. And plus, they got a bar on that ferry, too. You could sit down, you know, grab a drink, then go up to the top and just let the breeze blow in your face and say, man, this is great. This is summertime.
This is why you want to live on the East Coast.
This is why you lift all them weights. This is why you do all that stuff. This is it right here. I may or may not have given that speech to the Portly team.
No, you didn't.
I said, this is why you lift all them weights.
This is why you drink all that stuff that you drink at the Portly. It's because we want to win.
And you know what I did? I came in. Hey, Fleeks, can you get me the final countdown by Europe? Please, can you get that? So I drove into the parking lot with my windows down and my sunroof open, blasting this past the driving range as I was pulling in. And then I got out. Yeah. So just picture my car coming into West Sable.
Okay.
And everybody's at the driving range.
man, you inspired your team. You were
by there, you know. And everybody, it was like a movie. They all stopped their swing and turned around like. And then the fist went out of the sunroof. And then they knew I meant business. And we brought home the cup. God damn it.
And you won by 9 points.
We won by 9 points, and my team brought home two.
That is an ass kick.
Ah! That's how the week started. And the week will end on the Bridgeport Ferry. All right, it is Boomer Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Summer Friday.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Beautiful day out there as we see this live shot from CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Summer Friday. We got Jerry Recco back. He's got some stuff for us, even though last night was probably... Oh. The least amount of sports
we've been searching
that has gone on right the entire year. This is the day, the Thursday night before baseball restarted.
It used to be the Wednesday because they used to play games on Thursday,
right?
And now you've got WNBA on Wednesday, so now Thursday night is the night with
Nothing.
Nothing. I mean, you have the Open Championship that's going on.
And by the way, that's one of the reasons why I was saying earlier this morning, like, whoever decided that the RNC was going to have their convention this week, it's brilliant.
Yeah. Not a lot going on in sports.
I don't know how they do that, how they determine that, but maybe it was just by coincidence. But if it wasn't, whoever decided to do it basically got more eyeballs to it because of it.
No doubt. I am sure that it was the case. What's going on, Jerry?
All right, so we're brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door, and by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. Since you mentioned it, did you hear Hulk Hogan, and did you see the Hulkster?
Of course I did.
This was, I'm telling you, for a guy that's 70, he's got more energy and is in better shape than all of us.
But what happened last week when they took a shot at my hero? And they tried to kill the next president of the United States. Enough was enough. And I said, let Trumpomania run wild, brother.
I mean, it's like it's 1985
again. I know. I mean, and Donald Trump was very popular in 1985
well, that's
as well.
True, for different reasons. He's ripping his shirt off,
I mean,
though.
It is just, it was incredible wild. Visual. And man, I tell you, there's been a lot of wrestlers that have come to an untimely end.
Yeah.
And Hulk Hogan's one of those guys that still looks great.
He looks like he could still go right in the ring tomorrow.
I would agree with you. And then also on the warm-up show we were talking about with this outage, because you imagine if you like Friday in the summer, people fly. Maggie Gray stuck at the airport right now.
Oh, really?
Yep. Just saw that on social media. She walked in and...
But this was part of a Maggie and Perloff bet. Like if the Buffalo Bills didn't win the Super Bowl, she had to go to the airport when the Microsoft cloud crashed.
I think she's...
Yeah.
By the way, you might be right about that, but I think she's actually trying to travel today.
That's pretty funny.
That sounds like a complete mess, and she's got a lot of video, and the airport is exactly what you'd think it would look like. Bags everywhere and people everywhere. So, not good, that's for sure. Hey, last hour we were talking about overnight caller Brett.
Yeah.
And you brought up the good point about how sometimes he calls in with a serious, genuine topic and things still escalate. So whatever, a couple months ago, his mom passed away. And so he did call into CMAC.
Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
How are you? Long time.
A while. Where the hell you been?
It's been a rough one. I'm not going to, personally. But
okay. Well, I hope everything's all right there, Brett.
Yeah, we lost mom, but I'm back.
Sorry. I'm sorry to hear that.
It's all about anyway.
All right. So anyway, that's very sad, and
you
can imagine. Not too much longer. How about we just scream about Daniel Jones?
It's been 5 years. How many times? How many years can we wait to evaluate him? How can we consistently say that?
Let's fire Daboll too and get another coach.
Yeah, let's do that. Come on. How many coaches? Last year he was awful too.
So that's pretty much an example there of caller Brett.
Yep. Yeah, no matter what, he's going to get you riled up.
He does.
He gets
himself riled up, too.
Certainly.
Holy smokes. I know we don't usually play him very often or ever, but when you get a name drop, I think, why not? So Aaron Boone was on with John Boy earlier this week, and they were talking about not getting much from the leadoff spot, and they've been shuffling that spot around, and so... I don't know if he's talking about Volpe here or Judge or so. It doesn't really matter. What matters is who he mentions here.
When we look up in 10 years, I think he's going to be a guy that hits in the top of the lineup. But I think Keith McPherson always says, like, in 10 years.
How about that?
Keith McPherson tonight.
That's kind of cool.
My goodness. Then Keith's got to love that because he's such a huge Yankee fan.
Big Yankee guy. Did a couple of games in the booth. Now, so the manager's talking about him.
If he is mentioning Keith McPherson, that means Keith McPherson has been a loyal supporter of Aaron Boone. Would you say so or no?
I would think that's possible. I don't know. But I would think
Keith
is
on when he's driving home from the game.
That's true, too.
So that's he gets in the car,
but
probably.
But Boomer's right, though. If he's burying Aaron Boone after every loss, even if he's listening to him, he's probably not dropping his name, you wouldn't think.
Yeah, Aaron Boone probably is just basically tuned out Brandon Tierney now.
I would certainly think so.
Because Brandon Tierney has totally turned the page on Aaron Boone.
Yeah, where did BT go on vacation?
I don't think he did.
Oh, it's a home.
What?
I heard he went to man camp. Or did just do man stuff.
Man stuff at man camp.
Yeah, you just go to man camp.
Think he brought Sal this time?
He just does push-ups.
Got the testosterone
and
flowing.
Shoot stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they punch each other in the face.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they do at man camp. Go to man camp again. They fight bears like you used to on that Discovery show.
That was what, Man versus Bear? Is
man
that the name of it?
Man versus Bear, yeah. We used to fight bears.
I don't think he fought bears. I think that's what we thought it was. I don't think that's what it was.
What did it turn out to be?
I don't know.
I'm like the host bears. Of like guys not really fighting bears. Because if that really were to happen, it would have been a short fight and lots of gore.
Right.
We're talking about BT here, man. Not just a regular human being. He would have body slammed that bear and then put his foot on its chest. Big balls.
The Yankees, by the way, will be home for the Rays tonight. Gerrit Cole makes the start out of the All-Star break. The Yankees trail the Orioles by a game for first place in the AL East. Mets right now in the third wild card spot in the National League. They have a four-game series that starts in Miami tonight. Sean Manaea is the starter there. From football, the Jets announcing that Mike Williams will begin training camp on the PUP list, the physical unable to perform list. Meantime, like you got to do last year, Corey Dillon going into the Ring of Honor in Cincinnati. Here was Dillon, as you can imagine, quite excited about this whole thing.
I'd like to thank the season ticket fan voters for making this possible. And also, I'd like to thank the Brown family for making this happen. So it's going to be a great, great day on the 23rd of September. And I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Like it was for you. Now, yeah. Now, you, since you're a Ring of Honor member, are you, I don't say required, obligated to maybe go there when other guys go
invited
in?
Invited to go, yeah.
Invited, yeah.
Right, yeah. And I could go this year because I don't have to work on Sunday.
That's right.
Look at this, that. This was a look Monday night or a Thursday night, though, last time. So they might have that scheduled.
True. No, I think it's, that's right. You know, I got to look at, no, I think it's a Sunday, I think.
September 23rd.
Here was Dillon on his relationship with Mike Brown.
As of right now, man, we are on a clean slab, man.
It's Monday.
Oh, it is
we're
a good night.
You know what I mean? We're good. So I'm looking forward to seeing him when I get back down there, man. And we're going to have conversations and good ones.
And good ones. Very exciting
stuff.
Yeah,
he didn't leave. It wasn't pretty when he left.
Oh, I remember.
Yes. Yeah.
And, well, all good now.
And we talked to Jeff Fisher yesterday, and Jeff Fisher said that he glued a picture of Corey Dillon on a rock and dropped it into Greg Williams' fish tank after Corey Dillon went for like 230 yards against them. So he goes, every time he'd look over at the fish tank, he would see Corey Dillon's face.
Yeah, well, we broke the rookie rushing record that night against Tennessee, and Jeff Fisher was the head coach. And he went into Greg Williams' office and said, I need answers. What the hell just happened?
Yeah, sure. Speaking of old-time football, I'm sure you have told this story many times, but I've never seen the actual footage of it. When you guys were beating the Oilers by a million points.
I've told the story,
kicked
yeah.
the field goal. Yes. I didn't realize you kicked an onside kick after that with 5 seconds left in the game.
Exactly, yes.
That's so hilarious.
Now, obviously, I've seen this stuff posted out there because I told the story the other day, and that's one of the reasons why somebody posted. I forget who it was. But I was not on the field.
You were off the field at that
point.
I was
off the field. It was Eric Wilhelm was the quarterback, and Sam Weiss was trying to get him to call timeout so we could get the field goal team out there to kick the field goal to give us 61 points. And Jerry Glanville one up Sam by calling timeout to try to ice the kicker. And then Sam one up Jerry by kicking an onside kick.
So funny.
Don Kroenke, I think, was doing the game.
Yeah, I think so. 61-3, and they're kicking an onside kick.
It was crazy.
Very, very funny.
Oh, and the Bengals try an onside kick, and it didn't work. Oh, too bad. Man.
Very funny. On the Roommates podcast, which I think was released last night, if not the day before, Josh Hart is there with Jalen Brunson. They're the two hosts, as you know. You had Mikal Bridges and Dante DiVincenzo stop by at certain points here. And this centered around Hart and the way he was when he was at Villanova. So first, we give you DiVincenzo's first interaction with Hart when he got there.
Started off a little rocky in college.
Another one. Just right added to the tally.
Early on.
Add that to the tally. One.
Yeah, we started off a little rocky.
But they had a special one.
Yeah, that was one of a couple. My freshman year in my locker.
In the locker?
That was the first one. But A lot of people on the team warned me about Josh.
Apparently, he was not very kind to him when he first got
there.
Yeah,
they have talked about that before. Yes. They hated each other, well, apparently.
Yes, and he did say he would go right back at him and wasn't going to back down. And then Bridges, his first interaction.
Josh, I wanted to be friends with Josh, but he didn't like me in the beginning. Do I have to bring up?
You were the common denominator to all this.
Yeah, you were just mean for no reason. It was crazy. It was really crazy. I'm just walking in there, 17, you know, excited to meet, you know, teammates, and just not like Josh, like 3 years older. He's a year above. So I'm like, oh yeah, like what up, big bro? Like, hey,
he was having none of it.
You know, what's amazing is that now they're getting this all off of their chest.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
And you know, this could actually fracture the team going forward.
Wow. I don't know that it's going to do that, but it is different. That's for sure. Now with them on the Knicks, and then on the big podcast with Shaq. So as he said, he's getting older. He's become more emotional. He's become more reflective. So he had Penny Hardaway on as a guest, and it seems very genuine that he feels like he should have never left Orlando and left Hardaway.
The only question that really like is at the top of my if list is how many would Shaq and Penny would have got if they stayed together.
Yeah.
That question right there burns the most than any other question.
And then he went on to say at 24, because, and I don't remember all this. Well, it was interesting just from the standpoint of, I guess Hardaway got the big contract first.
Yeah.
And when that happened, he's like, as a 24-year-old, I'm like, I deserve more. Get me out of here.
You're telling me Shaq would have rewritten history and not gone to the Lakers where he really became Shaq and won multiple championships?
No way. So he went on to say, and also me and Kobe should have never broke up as well.
Shaq was done at that point, man. Kobe like winning Shaq another one.
Everybody's breaking up with Shaq, or is it Shaq breaking up with everybody?
It sounds like Shaq was breaking up with everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then here was, he just said, my bad. And he had sunglasses on. The thing is written as if he was crying. I don't think he was, although he was doing it with sunglasses.
I just want to say man to man, brother, because you know in the life we live, sometimes they force us to be a I was that to you. And your crew, I apologize. But you know I love you, brother. You know I miss you. I'm happy for you.
I gotta be honest. I was watching this. I'm like, is something going on with him where he thinks like the end is near? Like,
you think he's going to die? Like Jerry Jones.
That's not.
This is unbelievable.
No.
This is twice now.
If you remember what Craig Carton used to say, you know, if you're over 6'10", you're going to die early.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And now you're talking about it again.
But no, I'm not.
It's amazing.
The end is near for Shaq.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I said was watching it, the way he was trying to make amends for things in the past, it sounded as if someone knew something was going on.
Because he's going to die?
No. I just said you wonder if he's healthy.
Die! Yeah, so awful announcing already has it up. Jerry Recco of WFAN thinks Shaq's going to die.
No, I don't. Nor do I think Jerry Jones is a very healthy 82-year-old. So don't do that. Second round of the British Open as we check the leaderboard now and see here. Is this accurate? So I have Shane Lowry on the Open Championship leaderboard at 7-under, but I feel like that's wrong.
He double bogeyed.
So he went back to 5?
Yeah, he's 5, yeah. And he took 20 minutes to hit a shot.
All right, this still says 7, but you're telling me 5, and Daniel Brown is 5-under as well. Justin Thomas is now on the course. He's at -3. Billy Horschel is at -2 for the championship. Anybody else of note here? Let's see. Justin Rose is still -2, even on his second
round. Scotty's 1-under on 13.
Yes, and Xander Schauffele is 1-under, as is Patrick Cantlay. So a lot of good names there that are still in the mix, as they say. Anybody else here? No, that's pretty much of note.
I think this golf course in this weather will keep everybody in the mix if you could just stay within about 3 shots, 4 shots of the lead.
As you saw with Lowry, I mean, he was running away with it there for a little bit, playing unbelievable, then just got caught up in the fescue, had to take a drop. It was just a mess.
What do you think was the worst score? Did you see the worst 2 scores from yesterday? Legendary names.
Tiger Woods.
No.
John Daly.
John Daly is 1.
What was he? Plus what?
Plus 11, 82 yesterday.
What was Tiger?
Tiger yesterday was plus
7?
8, I think.
8.
7 or 8. And Rory was plus 7. The other name is Ernie Els, shot in 82. And did you see this guy, maybe
Did Colin Montgomery say anything about Ernie Els playing?
No, of course not.
No.
Roman Langescu.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see him?
He goes, F it, I'm out.
Yes.
I'm sitting just picking.
Yeah. He had 113 or 116 yard par three, hit at 82 yards, and then hits into the fescue. Then he was back and forth, and he's like, F it, I got to go. Yeah, and he withdrew.
Took his hat off.
That's it.
Shook some hands and left.
It was great. It's pretty funny. So there you go.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. It is Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We like everybody around here. We really do. We've got good colleagues. And one of the guys that we like Pat Boyle a lot. He's stepped up for us in many instances. He's also stepped up now for your bike tour.
I mean, dude, that climax just hits you right in the face.
And we support him as a talk show host here, and he played in Jerry's flag football game for us, and he was very, very good, and he's just been an exemplary employee and a friend of Boomer and Geo. However, he did something yesterday that I don't know if we got to sit him down and straighten him out.
What do you do now?
He posted a shirtless mirror selfie of
him.
Right after he got out of the shower.
I mean, what's he think? He's a part of the Kardashian family or something?
Well, he said he was posting it for a specific reason, and that has something to do with something else that's going on around here.
All right, so he posted it. Did he lose a bet?
No, he did not lose a bet. But the fact that he felt the need to do this is just an issue. So
let me see it.
Hey, I'm the star of WFAN. I'm WFAN's Pat Boyle.
Here you go. There it is.
Oh, my.
Eddie, have you seen this? You get a fleek show to him.
So, the Stunat of the week.
Yeah. I mean, with a little smirk on his face, mirror selfie.
I will say, you know how he has the Stunat of the week? He's like, I think Antonio Brown ripped it off from him.
What, cracker of the day?
Yes.
You think Antonio Brown was listening to Boyle and Shen and was like, man, Stunat of the week sounds great. I'm going to go with cracker of the day.
What did you think there, Eddie?
It's fine.
It's fine?
He can't put that out there publicly.
Oh, I thought you meant the opinion of him. His
no,
body.
No. I mean, he looks fine.
A photo.
Eddie doesn't have social media, though, so he doesn't know like what's normal to post, what's not.
He knows all about social media. Well, stop playing he's not stupid.
I'm not stupid, but like compared to other things on social media, what's wrong with that?
Boyle posting a out of the shower shirtless mirror selfie is something that I mean, no one else here would do that. Not a single person.
Cheese was.
So he said, I'm only posting this because Sean Morash literally just claimed on WFAN that I'm almost as out of shape as him. And he says, and yes, I beat Tiki Barber in a race, time and place. So he's calling out not only Sean, but Tiki Barber in this shirtless mirror selfie.
So he used that as an opportunity to put out a shirtless photo.
Exactly. So then Sean Morash, he quote tweets this whole thing, this picture of Pat Boyle, and has two words attached to it, which are blubbery slob. That's what he was calling Pat.
Well, I would say that you can't call Pat that.
Yeah.
That's one thing you can't call him. You can call him the student out of the week for the picture, but you can't call him a blubbery slob. Cannot do that.
Can't do that. Well, obviously, I think he was having some fun there, obviously, with the whole thing. But I mean, we like Pat. We think he's on the right track. We're trying to help him. The shirtless mirror selfie on X is just not the way to go.
That's a step back.
Yeah, I mean, it is a step back. And I also think, too, that, like, you know, that's something that's going to pop up. People are going to have that for forever when you post
that. I know,
you know,
but this is, like, maybe the new thing, the new generation.
It's not the new thing. It's the new generation.
Maybe he's going to have an OnlyFans account. You never know. He could.
You know, I wouldn't put it past a producer.
I mean, the glasses that he wears, he could be, like, in an edition of Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah.
You know, an episode of Starsky and Hutch with those glasses.
Yeah, as I mentioned before, if you don't know the glasses, he looks like Robin Williams in 1 hour photo. Very creepy, very strange. Then the mirror selfie. Like, I'm considering, we may have to consider
detaching ourselves from Pat Boyle. Like, he's been a part of the family, but the combination of the glasses and the mirror selfie, shirtless out of the shower.
Yeah.
I mean, he's pushing it. I don't know if we can have our name associated with that.
Do you think that he needs some psychological help?
No. I think he needs to be, I think he's a little bit off center right now.
Okay.
I think he hasn't been around us enough. He's been around some other people like Sean and Evan, and he's getting a little bit, his path has become a little askew.
Now, let me ask you this question. If he's been around those guys.
Yeah.
And we all know what these guys are like.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that he has been adversely affected? Well, I guess my answer is yes.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
He has been totally affected by them in a negative way.
Yeah, I think so. Yep. And I also think, too, because he spent a lot of time working with BT and Sal when Dove was out, that testosterone Brandon Tierney thing was getting to him, too.
Oh, God, yes.
So, like, he's got that going on.
He's like a mini Brandon Tierney.
He's getting there. He's like a combination of Brandon Tierney and Sean Morash put together.
Stick it up your ass! Don't you think, though, like, when we played flag football and he showed up and he had his elbow pads and his knee pads and everything else?
Yeah.
We could tell that he was ready to go.
No, he was. And that was a great version of Pat. I just think since then, things have changed.
Right.
You know? I mean, look at him there. You know, he's a buttoned up, uniform looks good. He's got regular glasses on, backwards hat, does the gritty.
Yeah.
All that. I mean, he looks great.
Well, this little backwards step is not as far back as he was when he first started, when he did the whole Boomer Office thing, take the beer, the whole thing. That was like he was in the doghouse.
That's right.
And ice out spot.
But we all feel like the one thing about him is that he has such a positive view of himself that it shows up in a lot of different ways. And some of those ways, like this one in here in particular, it's just not the right way of doing it.
No.
Like going into my office, sleeping on the couch, drinking the beer in my office.
Right, and then telling you about it.
On his own and then telling me about it. That's like, you know, hey, he's balls to the wall.
Well, that's why. But he came back strong and proved himself and has done double shifts and sleeping on the couch.
Yeah, I love the workout.
So he really has, he recouped all that stuff.
And yeah. I'm thinking, though, that he's sliding, he's regressing. He's de-evolving a bit. That's what I think. And that's why we got to get a hold of him now before we lose him. And I got a text from another employee here who will remain nameless, but, I mean, listen, you text me while we're on the air, you know what's going to happen.
Okay, it's going to make it out onto the air.
Right, but I'm not going to say who sent it to me, but another colleague here talking about Pat Boyle.
Uh-oh, here we go. The knives are out.
That kid's a super tool bag.
Super tool bag.
Wow. That sounds like a penis envy spot right there.
Super tool bag. So who sent the text calling Pat Boyle a super tool bag?
I'm not going to tell you.
Maybe somebody else who aspires to be on the air.
Well, that's everybody, mostly. Right? I mean, you're the only one who doesn't.
Dove.
You and Dove, and Dove's not texting me super tool bag, and you can say it on the air if you want
correct.
To. So you eliminate those two, and you got basically everybody else. Maybe okay. Pete Bilotti's the only other one who doesn't want to be on the air.
Do you think that, you know, I wonder sometimes, I sit in my office, I'm wondering if anybody thinks that I'm a super tool bag.
No, you know what I mean?
But maybe somebody, I wonder if he realizes that there's somebody here that thinks that he's a super tool bag.
He probably does. I mean, when he put out that video, too, when he was about to host his first show, remember he's going up the elevator and he put all the dramatic music on it. I mean, that didn't go over well. You know, so I'm sure that he probably has enough self-awareness to realize that there's a colleague here that thinks he's or maybe more than one, that thinks he's a super tool.
But you know what? 90% of the great ones, or maybe more, are a little bit arrogant. I think it's part of the DNA.
Kind of what I think is going on here. It's like how the WNBA treats Caitlin Clark.
Wow, what a comparison.
That's what's going on here.
So you're
so he thinks he's Caitlin Clark. He thinks he's Caitlin Clark.
Okay.
And everybody around here knows that he's not. So now they're going to treat him like the way the WNBA players were treating her.
Yeah. Fleeks, what do you think the general sense of Pat Boyle is amongst the behind-the-scenes employees?
I think mostly positive. I'm the person who trains everybody when they come in. So like I remember my days with Pat. He's, you know, attentive. He learned everything quickly, picked it all up. So in my book, he got positive marks.
Super tool bag tendencies, though?
almost everybody here has some super tool bag tendencies.
He's playing it down the middle here, Fleegs is. But you're not surprised that someone would text that Pat was a super tool bag?
No, I'm not surprised. Right, I'm trying so to get, I have like a couple candidates of who might have sent that text, but I can't like narrow it down to one, but I'm not surprised. Although there, like, there are people I could easily rule out. They would not send that. Doesn't shock me.
I would say that this text came from somebody who does a lot of work on the upside down. That's what I would say. That is sitting and watching Super Toolbag do his thing, and they're stuck over there not knowing or nobody knowing who they are. And Super Toolbag is out there, and everybody knows who he is.
ST. STB. Super Toolbag Boyle. STB on the fan overnight.
Hey-o!
Super Toolbag Boyle here. Yeah. He should go with that. The person is not on the upside down.
Okay, so that whittles
not,
down.
Not on the upside down.
All right. Has the person that ever hosted here?
Yes. Well, everybody did once. Spike.
That's a good. Remember. That's a fair point.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We like everybody around here. We really do. We've got good colleagues. And one of the guys that we like Pat Boyle a lot. He's stepped up for us in many instances. He's also stepped up now for your bike tour.
I mean, dude, that climax just hits you right in the face.
And we support him as a talk show host here. And he played in Jerry's flag football game for us. And he was very, very good. And he's just been an exemplary employee and a friend of Boomer and Geo. However, he did something yesterday that I don't know if we got to sit him down and straighten him out.
What do you do now?
He posted a shirtless mirror selfie of
him
right after he got out of the shower.
I mean, what's he think? He's a part of the Kardashian family or something?
Well, he said he was posting it for a specific reason, and that has something to do with something else that's going on around here.
All right, so he posted it. Did he lose a bet?
No, he did not lose a bet. But what the fact that he felt the need to do this is just an issue. So
let me see it.
Hey, I'm the star of WFAN. I'm WFAN's Pat Boyle.
Here you go. There it is.
Oh my.
Eddie, have you seen this? You get a Fleeg show to him.
The Stunot of the week.
Yeah. I mean, with a little smirk on his face, mirror
selfie.
I will
say, you know how he has the Stunot of the week? He's like, I think Antonio Brown ripped it off from him.
What, cracker of the day?
Yes.
You think Antonio Brown was listening to Boyle and Shen and was like, man, Stunot of the week sounds great. I'm going to go with cracker of the day.
What did you think there, Eddie?
It's fine.
It's fine?
He can't put that out there publicly.
Oh, I thought you meant the opinion of him. His
no,
body.
No, no, no. I mean, he looks
the
fine.
Photo.
Eddie doesn't have social media, though, so he doesn't know, like, what's normal to post, what's not.
He knows all about social media. Well, stop playing he's not stupid.
I'm not stupid, but, like, compared to other things on social media, what's wrong with that?
Boyle posting a out-of-the-shower shirtless mirror selfie is something that, I mean, no one else here would do that. Not a single person.
Cheese was.
So he said, I'm only posting this because Sean Morash literally, just claimed on WFAN that I'm almost as out of shape as him. And he says, and yes, I'd beat Tiki Barber in a race, time and place. So he's calling out not only Sean, but Tiki Barber in this shirtless mirror selfie.
So he took ease that as an opportunity to put out a shirtless photo.
Exactly. So then Sean Morash, he quote tweets this whole thing, this picture of Pat Boyle. And has two words attached to it, which are blubbery slob. That's what he was calling Pat.
Well, I would say that you can't call Pat that.
Yeah.
That's one thing you can't call him. You can call him the student out of the week for the picture, but you can't call him a blubbery slob. Cannot do that.
Can't do that. Well, obviously, I think he was having some fun there, obviously, with the whole thing. But we like Pat. We think he's on the right track. We're trying to help him. The shirtless mirror selfie on X is just not the way to go.
That's a step back.
Yeah, I mean, it is a step back. And I also think, too, that, like, you know, that's something that's going to pop up. People are going to have that for forever when you post
it.
I know, but
this is like maybe the new thing, the new generation.
It's not the new thing. It's the new generation.
Maybe he's going to have an OnlyFans account. You never know. He could.
You know, I wouldn't put it past a producer.
I mean, the glasses that he wears, he could be like in an edition of Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah.
You know, an episode, I should say, an episode of Starsky and Hutch with those glasses.
Yeah, as I mentioned before, if you don't know the glasses, he looks like Robin Williams in 1 hour photo. Very creepy, very strange. Then the mirror selfie. Like, I'm considering, we may have to consider detaching ourselves from Pat Boyle. Like, he's been a part of the family, but the combination of the glasses and the mirror selfie, shirtless out of the shower.
Yeah.
I mean, he's pushing it. I don't know if we can have our name associated with that.
Do you think that he needs some psychological help?
No. I think he's a little bit off center right now.
Okay.
I think he hasn't been around us enough. He's been around some other people like Sean and Evan, and he's getting a little bit, his path has become a little askew.
Now, let me ask you this question. If he's been around those guys.
Yeah.
And we all know what these guys are like.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that he has been adversely affected? Well, I guess my answer is yes.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
He has been totally affected by them in a negative way.
Yeah, I think so. Yep. And I also think, too, because he spent a lot of time working with BT and Sal when Dove was out, that testosterone Brandon Tierney thing was getting to him, too.
Oh, God, yes.
So, like, he's got that going on.
He's like a mini Brandon Tierney.
He's getting there. He's like a combination of Brandon Tierney and Sean Morash put together.
Stick it up your ass! Don't you think, though, like when we played flag football and he showed up and he had his elbow pads and his knee pads and everything else?
Yeah.
We could tell that he was ready to go.
No, he was. And that was a great version of Pat. I just think since then, things have changed.
Right.
You know? I mean, look at him there. You know, he's a buttoned up uniform, looks good. He's got regular glasses on, backwards hat, does the gritty.
Yeah.
All that. I mean, he looks great.
Well, this little backwards step is not as far back as he was when he first started, when he did the whole Boomer Office thing, take the beer, the whole thing. That was like he was in the doghouse.
That's right.
And ice now, out spot.
But we all feel like the one thing about him is that he has such a positive view of himself. That it shows up in a lot of different ways. And some of those ways, like this one in here in particular, it's just not the right way of doing it.
No.
Like going into my office, sleeping on the couch, drinking the beer in my office.
Right, and then telling you about it.
On his own and then telling me about it. That's like, you know, hey, he's balls to the wall.
Well, that's why. He came back strong and proved himself and has done double shifts and sleeping on the couch.
Yeah, I love the work
ethic. So he really has, he recouped. All that stuff,
and I'm thinking though that he's sliding, he's regressing, he's de-evolving a bit. That's what I think, and that's why we got to get a hold of him now before we lose him. And I got a text from another employee here who will remain nameless, but I mean, listen, you text me while we're on the air, you know what's going to happen.
Okay, it's going to make it out onto the air,
right? But I'm not going to say who sent it to me. But another colleague here talking about Pat Boyle.
Uh-oh, here we go. The knives are out.
That kid's a super tool bag.
Super tool bag.
Wow. That sounds like a penis envy spot right there.
Super tool bag. So who sent the text calling Pat Boyle super tool bag?
I'm not going to tell you.
Maybe somebody else who aspires to be on the air.
Well, that's everybody, mostly. Right? I mean, you're the only one who doesn't.
Dove.
You and Dove, and Dove's not texting me super tool bag, and you can say it on the air if you want to. So you eliminate those two, and you got basically everybody else. Maybe Pete Bellotti is the only other one who doesn't want to be on the air.
Do you think that, you know, I wonder sometimes, I sit in my office, I'm wondering if anybody thinks that I'm a super tool bag.
No, you know what I mean?
But maybe I wonder if he realizes that there's somebody here that thinks that he's a super tool bag.
He probably does. I mean, when he put out that video, too, when he was about to host his first show, remember he's going up the elevator and he put all the dramatic music on it. I mean, that didn't go over well. You know, so I'm sure that he probably has enough self-awareness to realize that there's a colleague here that thinks he's, or maybe more than one,
that thinks he's a super tool.
But you know what? 90% of the great ones, or maybe more, are a little bit arrogant.
I think it's part of the DNA.
Kind of what
I think is going on here. It's like how the WNBA treats Caitlin Clark.
Wow, what a comparison.
So he thinks he's Caitlin Clark. He thinks he's Caitlin Clark.
Okay.
And everybody around here knows that he's not. So now they're going to treat him like the way the WNBA players were treating her.
Yeah. Fleeks, what do you think the general sense of Pat Boyle is amongst the behind-the-scenes employees?
I think mostly positive. I'm the person who trains everybody when they come in. So like, I remember my days with Pat. He's, you know, attentive. He learned everything quickly, picked it all up. So in my book, he got positive marks.
Super tool bag tendencies, though?
Almost everybody here has some super tool bag tendencies.
He's playing it down the middle here, Fleeks is. But you're not surprised that someone would text that Pat was a super tool bag?
No, I'm not surprised. Right, I'm trying so to. Get, think, I have like a couple candidates of who might have sent that text, but I can't like narrow it down to one. But I'm not surprised. Although there are people I could easily rule out. They would not send that. Doesn't shock me.
I would say that this text came from somebody who does a lot of work on the Upside Down. That's what I would say. That is sitting and watching Super Toolbag do his thing, and they're stuck over there not knowing or nobody knowing who they are. And Super Toolbag is out there, and everybody knows who he is.
ST.
STB.
Super Toolbag Boyle. STB on the fan overnight.
Hey-o!
Super Toolbag Boyle here. Yeah. He should go with that. The person is not on the Upside Down.
Okay, so that whittles
not,
down.
Not on the Upside Down.
All right. Has the person that ever hosted here?
Yes. Well, everybody did want Spike.
That's a fair point.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.